Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and as always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Excuse me for that, continuing that spot there. I hadn't got the computer turned on for the computer recording today. We try to record on a USB card, a CD, and on a computer, and I didn't get the computer turned on there as prompt as I needed to. But we've got everything now up and running. I trust that you're doing well today. I pray that God's grace and that God's Spirit is abounding in your heart and in your life, and that the Holy Ghost is comforting you in this very, very uncertain hour in the which we are living. And I feel led to begin the program today with prayer. And after we pray, we're going to get into the Word of God. But I sense in my spirit the need to pray. That's what's lacking profusely in so many people's lives, so many churches, homes, and families. There's just a loss of prayer and communication with God. And I want to pray for our nation today. Our nation is in grave trouble. In terrible shape. And the only answer is God. God knows it's certainly not Hillary Clinton, but God has a plan. And that plan, my friend, is so precise, with such untold precision, it begs description. It is so precise. It is so powerful as well, and it is so accurately executed accordingly to the will of God. And I want to take just a moment to pray for America today. Heavenly Father, as we come before your mighty throne today, we come with humbleness of heart and humility of mind. For we know that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. I pray for every home, every family, every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter. I pray that you would touch in a very most powerful and gracious way. Lord, we've heard today of the scandalous emails in the Democratic Party and their plots and their plans and their schemes. But as Job well said, you know even the very thoughts of every man, woman, boy, and girl. There's nothing that gets by your sight, for you are all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present, and that allows you to know everything about every person, no matter who they might be. Father, I pray today that somehow you would begin to birth an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival, that people would be stirred to pray, to fast, and to seek thy face, and to seek thy most counsel, O God. We need the counsel of the Lord. And we don't want to set at naught your counsel, but we want to embrace your counsel and do as you counsel us accordingly. For Solomon declared in Proverbs 1:25, you have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. God, if your counsel is to reprove us, then reprove us, rebuke us, chasten us, because that lets us know that you love us. For whom you love, you chasten. Father God, whatever kind of chastening and chastisement that we deserve, I know you will mete it out accordingly, judiciously and correctly within all of our lives. God, I know if we got what we deserved, you would obliterate us. But God, give us what we need. And that is fresh revelation. That is a fresh unction from the Holy Ghost. That is fresh insight into the things of God. I place this nation in your hands, that your will would be done. You would shake, O God, you would shake every element of this nation, every part of our government, every part of our institutions, the three facets of our government, judicial, legislative, and executive. God, I pray that you would shake them all to the core. You would shake it all to the core, O God, and you would bring down the wicked and you would exalt the righteous. For righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Let this nation be moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Suffer us, Lord, to be touched by the Holy Ghost for the purpose of being exalted because of righteousness. I know the pendulum has swung way over to the other side, but God, through your word and through the Holy Ghost, you can bring it back to where it belongs. I ask you humbly to bring it back where it belongs. If Ahab, as wicked and vile king as he was, could find mercy, surely, Lord God, your people, which are called by your name, can find mercy and grace and help in the time of trouble. I commit this program and the scriptures we're about to share into your hands, and I pray that your will be done, Father. We humbly pray, we humbly ask it all. In the name of the Father, we ask it in Jesus' precious name, Lord, because you have told us to petition the Father in your name. So, Father, we petition you today in Jesus' name, our Savior, our Lord, and our Redeemer, for it's in his name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. I pray today that your focus will begin to be upon Christ our Lord. Let me remind you quickly of the revival at Jim Baker, thejimbakershow.com, August the 18th through the 21st. We're looking for a tremendous, tremendous move of God. I'll be preaching Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning, and we're anticipating a visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. The last several days, the Holy Ghost has really been dealing with my heart about our consciences. I briefly addressed it some weeks ago when we were exegeting Romans chapter 1. Verse 28, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But in the last several days, the Holy Spirit has been prompting me to speak to you about your conscience. Let me say this before I even read the scriptures. I want you to get what I'm trying to convey today. Other than the Word of God, other than the Holy Ghost, the highest level of authority in your life is your conscience. Now, let me repeat that again. Other than the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, the highest level of authority in your life is your conscience. If your conscience is no good, then you are a reprobate or you are an apostate. And believe you me, if you are either one of those persons, you are in grave danger of eternal damnation and separation from God. And those two spirits, both apostasy and reprobatism, is flourishing in this nation. You can see it merely by people's behavior, that their God consciousness is totally gone from them. I want to go to Acts chapter 24, reading verses 15 and 16. Let's read verses 14 and 15 and 16. Acts chapter 24, verses 14, 15, and 16. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Both of the just and the unjust. The just, at their resurrection, their judgment will be at his first, at his second coming. The resurrection of the unjust is 1,000 years later, when he will raise all wicked, all unjust men and women from hell and death. They will stand at the great white throne judgment and be adjudicated by God himself. He will go through the book of life. Of course, their names will not be found. He will go through the other books, which are record books. He will tell them and show them their works, how vile, how evil that they were. And then he will sentence them, along with death and hell, into the lake of fire. Now, I know people say works aren't important, but Revelation 20, verse 13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works." So God is going to judge men according to their works. And then, of course, here in Acts 24, verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." A conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I want to speak to you today on a godly conscience. A godly conscience. A conscience is simply one's own witness. Your consciousness or your God consciousness is your own witness. Your conscience comes forward during circumstance or situations to give witness or testimony as to what you are doing or are about to do is either right or it is wrong. I want to say this again. A good godly consciousness comes forward to give testimony, to give witness as to what you are doing or about to do is either right or it is wrong. Your conscience and your consciousness, is its nature is to bear witness to the subject matter which you are dealing with. If I'm dealing with a matter of truthfulness or lies, my consciousness is to come forward and to give me, David Lankford, witness that I'm either lying or I'm telling you the truth. Every person begins with a good conscience. And in a moment or in a time of crisis, just like David with Bathsheba, when he was standing on his balcony and he looked across and he saw Bathsheba bathing, he saw her naked, he saw her nakedness, he saw her body. I believe with all of my heart, his God consciousness came forward and said, "David, get off of the balcony, get back into your palace, and get your mind and get your heart on the things of God." But what happened? He overrode his consciousness. He overrode his consciousness, and he sent for her because he was the king. He sent for her. He brought her into his palace, and he committed an adulterous act. He committed adultery. She ultimately confides in him, "I'm pregnant." He tries in his subconscious to correct the matter without godliness or without repentance. So he goes and he gets her husband Uriah. He brings him to the palace and he begins to drink, drinking buddies. He gets Uriah drunk and says, "Listen, there's no need to go back in the battle. No need to go back onto the battlefield. You go home and you spend the night with your wife." He wants him to go and, of course, have relations with his wife that he might know her and conceal his adulterous act. But Uriah is so godly, though he's drunk. His consciousness said, I cannot go down there to my house and go to bed with my wife while my brethren are on the battlefield fighting for the nation of Israel. So like a dog, he leaves the palace and he goes and he sleeps on the doorsteps of his house. And David's plan there has failed. So he sees what he's trying to accomplish is not succeeding. He then confides in one of his most confident people, Joab. And he says to Joab, he sends a letter to Joab, and he says, "Joab, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put Uriah at the forefront of the battle, in the most heated part of the battle. Then I want the men to retreat. I want the men to retreat and run back away from the intensity of the battle and leave Uriah to himself and the enemies and let them kill him," which was, simply put, a murder. So Joab does as King David instructs him. They're in the intensity of the battle, fighting, warring, and only, well, everyone but Uriah knows what to do. That is to retreat. And so all the men retreat but Uriah, because he didn't know any better. And of course, they killed him. And David thought his problem was solved. But regretfully, it was just the beginning of the remainder of his life being a life of heartache and hardship, because he refused to listen to the godliness of his conscience. You see, we are always witnessing people committing evil and iniquitous acts. The sole purpose of the conscience is the faculty of the soul, which will either determine a matter is right or a matter is wrong, a matter is good or a matter is evil. That's the faculty of the conscience, or the purpose of the conscience is to make a determination about a matter, whether it's right or wrong, it's good or evil. Once that consciousness has been made void, seared as with a hot iron, it does not know the difference between right or wrong. We're witnessing that in America in every day. In our everyday lives, we're witnessing the most vile, evil, wicked, salacious sins, as I preached last week about the queer pastor and the queer deacon. The placard said, "I'm a queer pastor." The other one said, "I am a queer deacon." Do you think they have a God consciousness? you believe they've got a God consciousness, you are reprobate and you too are apostate. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. I've drank my share of alcohol, and let me tell you, it skews your thinking. It skews your thinking, and needless to say, it destroys your spirituality. People will commit acts of evil and of iniquity, and then they will say, I didn't know the difference. Well, see, they're lying. Lying is one of the greatest sins of mankind. Some years ago, doing a talk show with Joe and Doug Hagman, I made the statement, if everybody had to do one thing in life, you could still commit adultery, get drunk, you could embezzle, fornicate, sodomy, whatever. But if every living human being had to do one thing, and that's to always tell the truth, what kind of a nation would we have if everyone told the truth? Did you wipe the server? And the reprobate says, you mean with a cloth? This shows you the asininity and the reprobatism that has pervaded the consciousness of those who are supposed to be leading us. Paul in Romans 1:18 said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You see, God gave you a conscience to show you the truth. Now, you can override the consciousness. My car, and when I'm traveling, has a sensor, and you set it on the miles per hour, so that if you reach that particular miles per hour, a bell will begin to ring, which tells me you better slow down. On a highway where the speed limit is 70, I set it usually on 77. And if I hit 77 miles an hour, that thing will start dinging, making a noise, telling me you're getting too fast, so I pull back. You see, my consciousness set the boundary. God's word has set the boundary. Once you begin to cross the boundary, the word of God should explode in your life and warn you. The word of God gives warning in perpetuity. Continual warning, 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 warning. Total warnings constantly. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. God has shown us. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. When one holds, or better yet, suppresses the truth, they are denying their God consciousness to convict them of their sin, to convict them of their evil, and they override the truth, which is bearing witness against their evil or their ungodliness. Their conscience comes forward and says, whoa, buddy, stop that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't tell that lie. I've raised 4 children. And those of you who have raised children, you always set them down. If you're a good parent, say, now tell me the truth. And like most parents, you already know the truth about the matter, and you're wanting to see if they'll tell the truth. So you give them the opportunity to admit the truth. And what infuriates a parent is when they know the truth and they have the evidence of the truth, and yet the child says a lie. One of the last times I whipped my youngest daughter was when I caught her in a most arrogant, bold lie. She was 14, and I did take the belt to her, and I wore her out. I said, you don't lie to me, and you don't lie to your mama. I know I'll be criticized for that, but that's all right. That's why some of your kids are as wild as they are, because you never bother to use discipline. You cannot sit down and talk to a child and reason with the child, because the child thinks they know more than you know. Remember, we're old and fogey. I remember I thought my parents and grandparents were idiots. I come to find out they were brilliant. The truth is, I was the idiot. See? I was the idiot, but I didn't think that. You didn't think that. You thought you were cunning. You thought you were crafty. You thought you were more shrewd. You thought you could do this and do that and get away with it. But you know what? It'll finally catch up with you. Proverbs 23 and 13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Oh, but the psychiatrists tell us if we whip our children physically, we're going to warp their mind. So you'd rather sin warp their mind and their friends warp their mind than you keep their minds correct and godly in reverence to you as a parent and to God Almighty as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. We have a term here in the South, and I must admit I've used it a time or two, and it's called slycology, S-L-Y, slycology. You know, when people are trying to dupe me, deceive me, and I know they are intentionally and willfully trying to trick me through a sham, through a subterfuge, I see through the veneer, I see through the facade, and I use psychology. Psychology. I did it with a man just the other day. He thought he was getting over on me. And I posed my questions in such a way when he answered them, I said, see, you just proved my point. Thank you. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. You see, Jesus used a type of psychology in confronting his enemies, because he knew they were trying to mislead him. They were misrepresenting the truth, and he would bring up a situation and would cause them to become confused. Thus they had no answer. They didn't know what to say. And so they would think within their thoughts, and he would even know their thoughts. You see, he would pose a question. Was John of God, or was he just another man? He would snare them with his prudence, his wisdom, as wise as a serpent, yet as harmless as a dove. You see, you can lie to man, and that is not good. The Bible said you should not bear false witness. By the way, Revelation 21, verse 8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. So people do go to hell just for lying alone. You don't have to get drunk. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to fornicate. You don't have to be a sodomite. Just keep lying. And hell is your destiny. God through your consciousness, if you still have one, shows you you're wrong. It's called conviction. It's called conviction. And that conviction demands that you make something wrong right. Conviction demands that has been concealed, that you uncover it so people can know the truth. That's why everyone in this nation, for the most part, hates our governmental leaders, because that's the kind of life that they live 24/7. How about Ted Cruz flying down to Dallas to eulogize or to be a part of the eulogy of those police officers on Air Force One with Obama and Nancy Pelosi? Even Fox News did not cover that story. You see, they're all a bunch of two-faced hypocrites. How about his wife, Heidi Cruz, getting booed off of stage because she's in the bed with Goldman Sachs? You see, they're all criminals. They feign Christianity. They feign righteousness. And there's something happened to their consciousness. It's been seared. And they live like this all the time, and they expect you and I to believe this, just like Adolf Hitler said. Tell a lie long enough, often enough, you'll begin to believe the lie. Did you know Adolf Hitler went to prison before he became the ruler of Germany? And he said while he was in prison, he learned the power of propaganda. So he began to use propaganda to usurp people's common sense and consciousness. And he succeeded. And Himmler, his right-hand man, became so deceived, he said, if Adolf Hitler had asked me to kill my mother, I would have killed and murdered my mother with joy. Gladly I would have murdered my mother. Do you think the man had any kind of a conscience at all? Why, no. You can murder your mother without any guilt. I mean, what kind of person is that? That's a man who has absolutely no God consciousness whatsoever. You see, when one loses their consciousness, their mind becomes a pit of perversion. Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Did you know you can talk yourself into believing a lie? Hands up, don't shoot. But we all know that was a lie, but we still have lying congressional, senatorial politicians who are still purveyors of that lie. Hands up, don't shoot. How can you do that when the facts are that never happened? The facts are that never happened. You see, it was a lie, and they are purveyors of the lies. You think you watch Fox News and you get the truth. I sent Bill O'Reilly an email several weeks ago, and I said, you're nothing but a low-down thug. You're pathetic. You're filthy. You're immoral. You bring out Obama's Muslim pictures, and you put them on television knowing the man only has a few months left in office. What a two-faced, low-down hypocrite you are, Bill O'Reilly. And, of course, I signed it, Pastor Lankford, but I never got a response. At least the one congressman, I don't remember his name, I think he has an Italian last name, he said, the man's a Muslim. You see, that's the truth. That's the truth. But you see, we don't want to tell the truth because it might hurt somebody. It might offend somebody. It might knock me out of a position. It might take away something from me if I tell the pure, unadulterated truth. Why are you like that? That's because in your mind, in your consciousness, in your heart, you're a vile, wicked sinner, and you feign righteousness by saying, I'm a Christian. Well, you're nothing but a liar. When I read the placards, I am a queer pastor, you are a liar. I am a queer deacon. Now, you may be queer, but you're not a pastor and you're not a deacon according to the word of Almighty God. You feign Christianity, but you are a liar in disguise. And that's why Revelation 21 verse 8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. There have been many times in my life as a pastor, I've had to deal with situations, and I've been up front. And I've said to people, if this bothers your conscience in any capacity, I want you to tell me because I'm concerned that I'd ever do anything to manipulate your consciousness or your conviction. So tell me up front. Tell me up front. You see, I try to walk the walk. I try to talk the talk. I have a spiritual awareness of everything that's going on around me and in my life and that I participate in. Now, I don't always share my heart. I don't always tell you everything that I know because I give place and I give room and opportunity for the Holy Ghost to work out circumstance and situations. I want the Holy Ghost to give us the best because He always gives nothing but the best. But you know who gets in the way of God's best? Men. Men. Why? Something has happened to their consciousness. Revelation 3, 11 and 12. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, well, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. Men are crown stealers because they are liars. They are liars. I gave someone the other day an opportunity to tell me the truth about something I pointedly asked them, and they wouldn't answer me. Let me say correctly. You see, that's always been Satan's modus operandi, as I said some weeks ago. I believe, and I don't have scripture, and I said it then, I'll say it again, I don't have scripture to prove what I'm saying, but I do believe that Satan said to the angels in heaven the same thing he said to Eve in the garden, hath God said. You see, it's always questioning God. It's always questioning God's word. Let me tell you, God is nothing but truth. That's all God is. And people are in the business of turning God's truth into a lie. Romans 1:25. Turning the truth of God into a lie, and worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. You see, that's the devil's business, is to get you to change the truth of God into a lie. Well, you know what? You can't do that. Did you hear me? You cannot change the truth of God into a lie. Now, you may try and attempt to do that, but at the end of the day, God's word is still nothing but the truth. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. When you get through with all your lying, all of your hypocrisy, whatever the case might be, at the end of the day, the truth is still the truth. You can try all you want to tell me 2 and 2 is not 4, 3 and 3 is not 6, and 2 and 3 is not 5. But you see, I did go to the first grade, and I know those are facts. Now, you may try to deceive me, manipulate me, swindle me, deceive me or whatever, but the truth at the end of the day is 2 and 2 is 4, 2 and 3 is 5, and 3 and 3 is 6. Where is your consciousness? It's often been said about a man's consciousness. A man that has a good conscience will still do what's right when nobody's looking, because he understands there's always somebody looking at you, and that's God. That's God. That's why you can manipulate and you can deceive people. As the old saying is, you can deceive men some of the time, part of the time, all of the time, but you never deceive God any time. God always knows the truth. And he knows the state of your consciousness when you act or behave in a particular means, mode, or a method. I had 2 days of jury duty last week. I made a whopping $24 because I'm self-employed. But both plaintiff and defendant attorneys would question the jury pool. And of course, one of the questions is, do you feel like you can adjudicate as a juror and be fair and honest about this particular trial? And it was about a gentleman selling drugs. And then, of course, they probe profusely into your life. That's what made me so angry. You ever had a DUI? You ever had a drug arrest? And these people spill their guts. And after we go through about 25 people to get a jury of jurors, the bum pleads a lesser case and pleads guilty to it, so there'll be no trial by jury, because the bum knows the jurors are going to find him guilty of trafficking. But what makes me mad about that is you open up the personal lives of all these people. The law should be, once we start getting a pool of jurors, you're going to trial no matter what happens. You've taken it this far. These people have gotten off of work, had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to be in a jury pool room at 8 o'clock. I got a 40-minute drive. And then you're going to cop a plea. And we went through all of this exposure, all of these questions about our personal lives, our wives, our children, all of this stuff. And then when you see we finally get a pool of jurors to try you, you know you're guilty of sin. Now you're going to cop a plea. So all of that work and labor was in vain. And I said to some of the jurors, bless God, when it gets to that point, they ought to make them go to trial now. Because you cost the taxpayers all this time, all this money, all these jurors, and then you cop a plea. But they know, and the defendant's attorney says, pal, if this thing goes to trial, they're going to find you guilty. There's just too much there. So let's cut a deal. Can I tell you something? You don't cut deals with God. You may cut a deal with man, but God doesn't say, we're going to plead to something less. You see, Paul had a profuse, godly, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled consciousness. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said, I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience or consciousness bears me witness in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is placing an affirmation on my consciousness that I'm telling the absolute truth. Paul said that statement again, close to it, in 1 Timothy 2:7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Now, why is Paul talking about not lying? Well, there's a whole lot of lying going on, folks. It's always been that way. It'll always be that way till the end. People lie profusely. And they think some of us are so stupid to believe the lie. They, you know, the guy asked Hillary Clinton, do you always tell the truth? Well, I try to. Why don't you just go ahead and tell the truth, ma'am? You don't always tell the truth, because the truth is the truth. You don't have to tell the truth. It's like, well, you have to coerce me. You have to work on me to get me to tell the truth. Well, that's because you're a liar. Bill Clinton helped me to understand what Jesus meant when he said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. We can talk about the semantics afterwards, but did you do it or not? Yes or no? Did you steal the money? Yes or no? Did you wreck the car? Yes or no? Did you shoot the man? Yes or no? Did you lie to the man? Yes or no? Now, we can talk about the ifs, ands, and buts afterwards, but I want a yes or a no. You see, that's what God will demand at judgment, yes or no. Romans 8:14, Paul said this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know I'm a son of God because I get a witness from the Holy Ghost. I don't need you to tell me I'm saved. I don't need you to tell me I'm lost. Listen, when I was a sinner, or let me say it, when I was a backslider, I was lost as hell itself. You can only be saved one time. Once you're saved and you drift away from God, you can't be saved again. You're just a backslider. Backsliders go to hell. And when you're backslid, that means you were once in relationship with God. Study the word backsliding, people. Study the word backslider. Find out what it means. It means somebody who knew God but walked away from God, and now they don't know God. Samson was a backslider because God left him. That's why I hate that doctrine. Unconditional eternal security. What a lie, straight out of the pits of hell. It's a lie. It's a lie. And the devil's the father of all the lies. Led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're called the sons of God. What Spirit is Paul talking about? He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the Spirit of truth. John 16, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Can I tell you, if you've got the Holy Ghost, he won't let you lie. Now, you may tell a lie, but the Holy Ghost will say, now you've got to go back and straighten that lie out. Hello? If you tell a lie and you've got the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost is going to tell you, he's going to reprimand you, he's going to reprove you, he's going to rebuke you, he's going to hammer you and tell you, you've got to go straighten that mess out now. See, this is why a person's prayer life is so important. You know, I learned early on as a young minister, Christian first, minister secondly, then I got married, husband thirdly, but as a Christian, Your prayer life is one of the greatest deterrents to sin and leads you and guides you to live right. If you don't pray like you ought to pray, you'll start slipping and you'll start dabbling in sin. A Christian is either going to keep praying and stop the sinning, or they're going to stop the praying and keep the sinning. It's a choice. You see, that's one of the great fundamentals of alcoholism. The person must admit, I got a problem, I need help. People have different problems. Some people, their problem is lying. They'd rather climb a tree to tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. I've met people, they were habitual liars. They couldn't tell you the truth. They're going to lie about the color of a car. You know, when I was in the world, they lied about the drag strip, their time on their run, you know, 8.3 seconds, whatever it might be, 7.9 seconds. They lie just to say I had the faster car. They lie about this. They lie about that. They lie about how much weight they could bench press. I mean, just lie. I understand that. The whole world lies in wickedness, John said. I mean, we witness lying every day on national television from the talking, spinning head pundits, news reporters, and politicians and preachers. Just lie like there's nothing to it. Let me tell you something. When a man can look at you and smile and lie to you, his conscience is gone. When a man which is a Muslim, an avowed Muslim, and thank John McCain for not making his Muslim faith an issue, yet stand up there and say he's a Christian, that's a liar. I don't care how you dice it, how you slice it, how you look at it, that's a lie. By the way, I thought Christians told the truth. That's one of the earmarks of Christianity. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. You want to live under the Mosaic law? He said, don't bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. People will lie and say, well, I'll straighten it out right now, but right now it's the best, or later on, but right now the best thing I can do for myself is to tell a lie to get myself out of this situation. You know, how many devices did you use, Ms. Clinton, as Secretary of State? I only used one device. Well, James Comey says you used 3, 4, 5 devices. Is that a lie or not? See, she's perjured herself unbelievably, and that's why people say there's a double standard. Poor people like us, we don't have a chance. But let me tell you something about sin. Let me tell you something about sin. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. O.J. Simpson got off for murder. Something down the road got him. Why? You can't live a life of sin and think you can come out unscathed. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. Now, this is where deception comes in. That's why deception is so powerful. Matthew 24:5, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. These lying preachers, that's all they are. They're nothing but lying, two-timing preachers. They lie, they lie, they lie. All in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah, read the book of Jeremiah. These lying prophets. They'll say, "Thus saith the Lord." God said, "I didn't say that. I didn't say that." Now, they say that because they want the people to believe them more than to believe God. Just like the serpent said, "Hath God said?" Jeremiah 23:31-32, "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy falsely dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." You see, you can't profit when you're believing the lie of others. You cannot profit. I cannot profit when people lie to me. As a matter of fact, I lose. Now, they may gain temporarily in this life. They may cover their little raunchy, randy, rancid sin by lying to you, but that's okay. They may pull one over on you, but they've not pulled nothing over on God. I mean, the world, they're going to lie to you, folks. They're going to lie to you. They're going to tell you a lie. That's what Jesus said. "They caused my people to err by their lies." Let me tell you something. It's a dangerous thing to lie to people, because you're going to be responsible for their souls. I don't care who you are, what you are, when you misrepresent the truth to a child of God and you cause them to err, you cause them to go the wrong way, you cause them to do the wrong thing, you're in grave, grave, grave trouble. You better be careful who you offend. Matthew 18:6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Your lying will only cause more harm and more damage and more injury. I'm telling you, God wants all of us to tell the truth. Because at the end of the day, when you get done, the truth is still the truth. I'll pick this back up tomorrow in the Lord.
By the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.